When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
What's up and welcome to another episode of the Grindline Podcast. I'm your host, Greg. I am here tonight with Ryan. Tyler, for some reason, is in Maine. Why? I don't know. You know, it's,
I'm sure it's gorgeous. Episodes. It's got to be nice, right?
Whatever. We get important episodes like, hey, we just got a ton of free agents signed. Eisenman does a press conference. There's a waiver and all this. And Tyler's like, yeah, I'm in Maine, so I can't record. And we're like, whatever.
For some reason, I thought we weren't actually going to be going tonight. So the conversation, you're like, yeah, we're going. I'm like, yeah, whatever. And then I get kind of yelled at because she's like, it's a holiday. I'm like, it's Monday.
No, tomorrow's a holiday. Today is Monday. And we are recording.
Yeah. Anyways.
So we have a lot to talk about tonight. And right off the top, we're going to do an update a little bit on the Yamamoto and Klim Kostin situation. So the Red Wings did waive Kyler Yamamoto. It sounded like he really didn't want to be here. He wanted to be out west, and he signs with the Seattle Kraken. Mm-hmm. So, it's whatever.
Bummer, really.
Sure. Bummer because you're missing out on a solid, what looked like a solid bottom six guy. He wasn't going to blow the doors down. He wasn't going to do a bunch of scoring, but he was apparently the price to pay to get Klim Kostin, who the Red Wings then went and signed to a 2-year contract worth $2 million per year. Adds, like we said last episode, physicality to the lineup. Mm-hmm. That sandpaper that you're kind of looking for. Yzerman said he can play a kind of stepped up role in Detroit. He thinks there's a lot there. He even talked about him today in his press conference, saying that there is there's more to be unlocked in Klim Kostin. And I can find it right now. He was getting a contract without the need to qualify him, which is why they didn't. And that they have upside, but also provides aggressiveness to the lineup. So Kostin is an evolving player, is what he said. So there's more there, and I like the contract, and that kind of is what kicked off all of free agency.
Yeah, pretty much. It was right before, it was like 10 or 11 a.m., wasn't it, on the day of?
Yeah, it was really early because I had to rush to make a graphic.
Yeah, I mean, I like it. He fits the mold. He's a big body, isn't he? What's his size? We talked about it, but I forget. He is 6'3", 212. Let's go. So all day there, he can skate. He can do things with the puck. He's not afraid to go into battles, if you will, on the board. So you look at, and we'll touch on the presser. I don't want to jump ahead of myself, but he fits what Yzerman's looking for in terms of a depth or a guy that can play anywhere within the lineup. And one of the signings in particular speaks directly to that. So there's a lot of flexibility that Kostin will hopefully bring, and he's hopefully in the same breath, he'll have a larger role this season with Detroit. So if that comes to a head and works out well for him, then great. Got him for 2 years, so we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I wonder if they try and use him on the penalty kill because of his size, because of his aggressiveness. Throw him out there and just let him hit people and clear the puck. I think that might be another addition there that could help.
Kind of like a Sundqvist?
Yeah, kind of like a Sunny, but maybe with more offensive upside, maybe less defensive laps. We'll see what happens with him, because that's one that I'm actually pretty excited for, because the initial word was that he was going to receive an offer from the KHL. And as soon as the KHL team, which was Omsk, saw that Yzerman had traded for him, they basically withdrew their offer because they knew they weren't going to be able to pay him more than Detroit was going to be able to pay him. So that was
Sergei right now. Be like, hey, what's with your dude? Come on.
So that was what kicked off free agency. And I really like the move and kind of the versatility that gives the team. I'm going to go to a person I don't have notes on because they didn't do their own press conference yet, which I thought was kind of weird, which is Alex Lyon. So the Red Wings signed Alex Lyon to a 2-year contract worth $900,000 per season. Last season in 2022-23, he had 15 games played, 9 wins, 4 losses, with a goals against of .289 and a save percentage of .912. His career save percentage is a .903, and his career goals against is a .305. Now, they also signed James Reimer, which we'll talk about during this. But I feel like this is going to be a battle it out kind of situation between the two goalies to see who backs up Husso, because they made it seem like in Reimer's press conference that like he was the default backup. He was automatically going to be a Detroit backup Husso. And Alex Lyon, even though the sample size is smaller, he's got 39 NHL games played total to Reimer's like 2 million games or whatever. Reimer has 476 games played. That I think there might actually be a shot that Lyon could take that backup spot, because in his limited showing, he has decent numbers and he only needs to play a backup role.
He fought hard for Florida and he's been learning under Sergei Bobrovsky, arguably one of the best goalies in the last 20 years. I mean, you can't go wrong in picking up a guy that played well alongside Bob. Now, Bob did take the reins in Florida going into the playoffs, but and at the same time, like, you're not upset about that. You could say that you can't really say that with Reimer. I don't know who all he's really played with that would be close to Bob. Has he played with anyone quite like that?
Jaguar was who he had the kind of privilege of being under when he was goaltending, was Jaguar. So
wasn't quite the comparison I would expect, but yeah, it works. I mean, he played with what, Freddie Anderson in Carolina? San Jose would have been Martin Jones. Going back into old Florida, I'm not sure who would have been on that roster, but and then obviously back in the day with Toronto. So every time I think of Jaguar, I think of Anaheim. So that's what it threw me off right there for a hot minute.
Yeah, but looking at Alex Lyon, his goals saved above average right now, which is goals the goalie prevented given his save percentage and shots faced versus the league average save percentage on the same number of shots. And his is 3.7. 3.7 goals saved above average based on the average goaltender in the league. So, average. I mean, I'm thinking if you look same last season, let's see. If you look last season at, I'm looking at 2010-2011 Maple Leafs and Jaguar was on the team. But if you look at goals saved above average for in San Jose for Reimer last season, he was at a negative 19.2.
Now, granted, this was on one of the worst teams ever.
So the season before in San Jose, he was at a 5.9, but he's flipped back and forth. 2018-19, a negative 9.3. 2019-20, a 3.4. 2021, a negative 1.2. So he's flipped back and forth on his goals saved above average. But this past season was really, really bad. So I think there is an actual shot that Alex Lyon could back up Husso in Detroit based on how preseason and training camp goes.
Yeah, I mean, it helps too that, you know, he's several years younger. I'm not saying that 35 is crazy old, but I mean, for Reimer making it this long, so good on him. And Lyon is only 30. So let's see, one of the birthdays here. Reimer just turned 35 in March. Lyon will be 31 in December. So, yeah, I mean, we'll see how it plays out. When I saw the signings, my first thought, like you just mentioned, was it's going to be a battle for the backup. The loser goes to Grand Rapids. And Lyon, part of me hopes that he does get the backup job, because Kosa being able to be under Reimer would probably be more beneficial. But as I mentioned under the same breath, Lyon going to Grand Rapids maybe also wouldn't be awful, because who knows what he did, in fact, pick up from Bobrovsky. So,
and he could help Kosa, because it sounded pretty clear today from the press conference that Kosa is probably going to be the goalie in Grand Rapids.
See his mask?
Yeah, it's really sweet.
That thing is ready to roll for the Griffin.
It's the vintage Griffin is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to move on to the next pickup. And these are just in order of.
Well, do you want to touch on the before the pickups?
Zadina. Philip Zadina has been waived by the Detroit Red Wings. Now, we were all scrambling to figure out why earlier. We're like, well, maybe his contract's being terminated or whatever. Yzerman talked about that also during the press conference, basically said that Zadina had come and asked to maybe try to be moved before the draft. So his agent had said, hey, can you try and move him, get him a fresh start somewhere? Yzerman said he tried as hard as he could. There were no takers. So today they waived Philip Zadina. And it is not for contract termination. Yzerman says another team has a chance to basically pick him up for free. And if they don't, he will come to camp. He will try to earn a spot. If not, they could waive him again and send him to Grand Rapids. But that was kind of the big news of the day, was that Yzerman waived Philip Zadina. And it was because Zadina had asked to try to be moved. So this is the last ditch effort. Am I surprised that he asked? No, because if you look at, I'm kind of surprised he asked before the draft. That is kind of where the surprise came in. But looking at the free agent signings, I was looking through the Jay Fresh cards, the stats last season, looking through and saying, putting together my like mock lineup, and there's no space for Philip Zadina. There wasn't even a space in my lineup for Robbie Fabry if I want to play Marco Kasper.
And does that include a? Oh, I was just gonna say, you answered my question, Norman. Sorry.
Yeah, it includes Kasper, but I'm not surprised. I wouldn't have been surprised if you told me that like yesterday he asked for a trade or asked to be waived or whatever. But to say he did it before the trade. Yeah, before the draft, that is what is more surprising to me.
I wonder if that's maybe why. So here's where you think that maybe one of the pundits picked that up, because he was, what, number 22 on Cervelli's trade board?
And Yzerman said he tried as hard as he could, and there were no takers. Like, I'm thinking Yzerman probably would have taken, like, a fifth-round pick for Zadina or whatever.
It's really one of these trades with, like, a DeBrincat or Konechny need to go through, doesn't it?
Yeah, but I mean, right now, those trade situations look kind of like a shit show, too.
Oh, totally. But you see where I'm going with that.
Yeah, so it's surprising. And, like, my hope is that someone does pick up Philip Zadina, because I think, and like Yzerman said, he still believes in Zadina. He sees the talent there. He knows what can happen, and he can still develop into a good NHL player. But I just don't think it's going to be for this team. So I'm really hoping that someone does pick him up and that he can just kind of restart his professional career with that team.
I like, and I know we're not trying to, we're kind of going into the presser a little bit, but I'm trying to avoid it. I mean, this kind of takes away some of what we have to worry about. But I like how he mentioned that there's no animosity between him and Zadina. There's no bad blood. It's trying to give him a fresh start. And he made the comment. He's like, I gave him a 3-year deal. Like,
he's like, I signed the dude.
Yeah, I gave him a contract. Like, it's not that I don't like him. It's just that it's almost like I'm not mad. I'm just disappointed, is how Yzerman kind of sounded when talking about it.
It sounded like he was disappointed because Zadina asked to leave, not because of the performance of Zadina. Mm-hmm. But he even said, he's like, the injury really derailed him. And then he came back and you saw some flashes, but nothing really panned out. So
he has to earn his way back now. That was the quote unquote.
Yeah, if no one picks him up, but I'm really hoping someone picks him up and he can get a chance at turning everything around.
Yeah.
So now we're going to head into free agents. Thank you, Ryan, for reminding me.
You're welcome.
And we're going to start with the order that I watched the free agent press Zooms in, because I kind of just went through the playlist in a weird order. And we're going to start with Christian Fisher. So I've got, you want stats first or notes first? Because I can do stats first.
Let's jump. We'll go stats then notes.
Stats first. So in 2022-23, in 80 games played, he had 13 goals and 14 assists for 27 points. His Corsi numbers were decently low, 42-4, 40.6. That's not why he's here. Because if you look at Christian Fisher's Jay Fresh card, he is here for the PK. He has a 98% on the penalty kill. The dude is has awesome. If you're rating players on vibes, he's one of the top vibes players you're going to get is Christian Fisher. So my notes on him, Jay Virati and Yzerman motivated him, felt like he could help the team win. He had a bunch of notes on, he was asked about Arizona, of course, because that's where he's coming from. Basically, overall, that it's a complete shit show, but if they got a rink in Scottsdale, it would be fine. He's a big body, 200-foot power forward, values playing the D side of the puck, was taken was taking nearly every D-zone draw against the other team's top line. That is one that that really stuck out to me, because if you're trusting him to, in the D-zone, take faceoffs, that's a pretty big, a pretty heavy task to ask someone to do.
Yeah, he didn't do very well, though.
No, but you figure if he didn't win the faceoff, he could go out in there and just bang bodies around, right?
Yeah, I mean, he didn't take a lot of draws, but when he was out there, I like the way that he said he thrives in those situations, meaning when there's pressure or there's a high tense situation where you have to be relied upon in your own zone to stop the other team, he wants to be on the escort.
Yeah, that was one of his quotes. He loves being a grinder. Yeah. He's just a dude that's going to go out there and fight for the grind line
comment there.
Art had a 10-minute question novel written at the end of every single player press conference where
it's so good.
There's 10 minutes left in the presser. Art's going to ask a question. He's like, everyone's like, Art Regner with the last question. You look at the timer and there's 10 minutes left. You're like, the last question? You mean like the last 7 questions?
You think they warn them ahead of time?
Someone had put that earlier. They're like, do you think the players during this development camp should get a PowerPoint presentation on the reporters and like what they're like and what kind of questions they ask?
They really should.
So with Fisher, it says he played his juniors in the area, grew up in Chicago. This is a theme you'll notice, is that Eiserman is getting players that have either played in Michigan, been around the area, or were born here. And I think there's something to it. Like I said last week, that maybe it's a psychological thing where maybe you perform better in where you learned to do something or you grew up doing something. And we got an interesting response from, and I'm going to maybe mess up the Twitter handle, Dr. Havoc, PhD, I believe, on Twitter is what it is. And he said there was a psychological study that basically took people that scuba dive and taught them one set of things underwater and one set of things above water and then tested them on them. And they remembered the stuff they learned underwater more when you put them back underwater. So it's like the brain connects where you learn something with what you learn.
Wait, they remembered the stuff out of water better when underwater, you mean?
No, other way around. They remembered the stuff out of water better when they were out of water and underwater better when they were underwater.
Oh, gotcha.
So the brain, there's something in the brain that might connect where you learn something with how much you remember it. So maybe they're looking at something. It'd be a fucking crazy stretch to say that is why they're getting people from the area. But there could be something psychologically to it. But back to Christian Fisher, because that's like a total whole episode on the psychology of sports and people and how the brain works. But they asked him about Ghost. So his scouting report on Ghost, highly talented D-man who thinks the game well. His IQ and play reads are top level. Love hearing that. Fantastic. Fisher, I just kept saying, like, seems like a really good guy. Absolute gamer. Sounds like Eiserman said he's going to play. He said Eiserman was not just blowing smoke up his ass. And when October rolls around, you're in for 4 minutes a night. I would pencil him in on your bottom six as a PS suitor, defensive PK specialist. I could see him being a fan favorite really quick just because of his attitude, how he talked, the kind of player he says he is. And if you're like, say, if you're looking for a PS suitor replacement, I think he's it.
Absolutely. I mean, maybe not so much in the faceoff dot, but in terms of what he will likely do for you defensively, yes. And he can score. Oh, I shouldn't get too far ahead of myself. He's got similar stats as to what Suter does, and you can't go wrong with it. You look at what he had this past year. Suter had 14 goals, 10 assists, 24 points. Fisher had what? I just clicked off of him.
13 goals, 14 assists for 27 points.
So you've reincarnated Suter into a bigger
6 foot two, 212 pound right shot is what you've done. Which is one of the themes you'll see, right shots.
And body, big.
And body. We are going to move on to the next player on the list. That is James Reimer. James Reimer, 6'3", 205. Old goalie, 35 years old and 43 games played last season. He had 12 wins, 21 losses, with a goals against of 3.4 and a save percentage of 89. Again, terrible team out there in San Jose.
Like, who's real bad.
Whose only saving grace was Erik Karlsson.
The year prior in San Jose, he actually had a respectable season.
He did. The year prior, he had a .911 save percentage and a 2.90 goals against. And this year they wanted to call 911 on him to get him out of the arena. But for James Reimer, he was all smiles during the press conference. He's absolutely pumped to be a Red Wing. Says Detroit's a really exciting place to be right now. He's happy to be back in a big traditional hockey market, and the direction of the team and Steve's direction is a big positive, and that everyone around the league recognizes it. That was the big thing.
Our fucking fans can't figure that out.
No, but literally he said everyone around the league, meaning players and coaches, understand what is happening in Detroit right now and recognize that it's really big and that the direction that they're going is very positive.
Like, what is... I'm picking on this particular quote. Ryan's
going to explode. Watch on YouTube if you're not.
What is so fucking hard about understanding that? Like 2 years in a row now, we've had some of the like older players that are coming through have all said the same damn thing. They see what Yzerman's drafted. They see the talent that is in the pipeline. They see the young players that are on this team that are quote unquote the core. Now, granted, the core has changed a little bit, but you have Dylan Larkin leading the way. Why is that so difficult for some of these fans on fucking line? And it's across the spectrum now. They've leaked into Twitter and have taken over, and it's fucking killing me. Relax. This can't happen overnight.
It's because we didn't go out day one of free agency and sign Patrick Kane and Tarasenko and trade for DeBrincat and get 18 scorers.
I guarantee that's probably why people are pissed off. They see all these flashy names that are past their prime. I shouldn't say past their prime, but past their like glory days, if you will. Yeah, cool. The team has a lot of cap space, but hey, guess what? Next year it goes up some more. We have to give contracts to Seider, Raymond, several other guys that are going to be potentially earning more. Maybe Sprong gets a renewal. Like,
ugh. And I don't think I mentioned it, but Christian Fisher was signed to 1 year, $1.125 million. And James Reimer is signed to a, I believe, one year, $1.5 million contract. So nothing big there. James Reimer went on to saying having good mentors is a big help and he can provide some of that here to someone like Billy Huso. He was asked about playing against Sprong. He said Sprong has a good shot and his ability to get the shot off is good. He takes guys by surprise. And on Ghost, he says he has a knack for getting the puck through into the net. He mentions him in the same breath as players like Brent Burns, who do the same thing. So being able to get the puck through that first layer of defense,
but that's promising.
Through the first layer of defense and to the net where someone can then score. Again, James Reimer, great energy coming off of him during the interview, was very happy. He said that his sister is a huge Detroit fan, was a Detroit fan since the late 90s, and that is probably going to be reignited. Coming here, but he's going to have to battle with Alex Lyon for that backup spot. I think it's going to be not as far apart as people think it is. I think that battle will be a lot closer,
which is going to be good though.
Yeah. Pushing each other.
The biggest thing that I want to come out of that, other than, you know, a competent backup, is someone that can take a load off Huso. Because that didn't happen last season and it caught up to him at the end. We can't have that again if we want to have a halfway fighting chance.
Yeah, I think that if you look at Reimer and his 43 games played, maybe if you knock that down to 30, it's a little more palatable.
Yeah.
Because again, he is getting up there in age. But I think, again, it will be all about up there in age. Like, he's fucking 70 years old.
He's still younger than me.
He's not Michael Bunting. But he's getting to the point where, as a goalie, you kind of slow down a little bit. And I say that as the Rangers signed Jonathan Quick. But I think that if you can lighten his load and get him maybe 30 games and you give Huso the remainder, it helps both of them kind of even out a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to move to another defenseman in Shane Gostisbehere. This one was really exciting. I love this one. 5'11", 180. Did I see it coming from the beginning? No. This is something I wanted last season. I wanted Shane Gostisbehere. It's okay to get him this season, though. Shane Gostisbehere signed a 1 year, $4.125 million contract. It was kind of a bet on himself. In 75 games played last season, he had 13 goals and 28 assists for 41 points. Looking at his Jay Fresh card, he has a projected WAR of 75% as a top pair defenseman with an EV offense of 76 and EV defense of 18. But again, if you look at it on the power play, he is an 87%. He has a finishing of 97%, a goals per 60 of 87. The dude has been, now let's say he had one down season, and that is something that Christian Fisher said. He's been a damn good player for 90% of his career, was a Christian Fisher quote. And I will tell you, I will write off the one bad season if he keeps performing the way he has. During his interview, he says the opportunity Steve presented was a big plus, a one-year opportunity to prove himself is big. The team is young, hungry, and skilled, which fits his game perfectly. He was asked about his role as a mentor, says he can help with the confidence of the defenseman and keep it simple and lead by example. His one-year deal is a bet on himself. He said they referenced Olimata, said it's probably the same kind of path. He hopes it can lead to another contract and that he can play both sides of the ice. He has been used right and left. It was about 50-50 split between right defense and left defense at even strength.
And Eiserman's reiterated that point.
He did. And when I put up my defensive lineups, I still have him as a left defenseman with Justin Hull on the second pair, which doesn't hurt.
No.
But he is a left shot. And I kind of want to keep my left shots on the left side if I can. But he averaged 17 minutes of ice time in Carolina at the end of last season because he was traded at the trade deadline from Arizona to Carolina. And again, if he can keep it up and be just a high powered offensive defenseman and you put him with a defensively sound guy and he doesn't fucking fall over himself like Ben Chiarot, that's a win.
Yeah. Basically, what you can think of with Gostisbehere is Phil Hronek. Maybe a little bit more oomph when it comes to offensive output. I mean, I have loved watching Gostisbehere, if you will, since his time in Philly when he first came on the scene. He's always been a guy that you're just enjoying, like watching him play offensive defense, if you will. He had, what, 65 points back in 17-18? That's been his high. So if you get remotely close to, even just a couple years ago, he had, what, 51 in 82 games? That's a win all day. So if he can come in and do that with what's been changed up, and you know that he's probably going to be leading the power play, that's huge.
Yeah, him or Mo. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and if you want to compare him to Filip Hronek, Filip Hronek had a projected WAR of 54%, a 44 EV offense, and a 34 EV defense. So, I mean, Ghost all around, not defensively, but offensively is better than Filip Hronek. Yep. Like I said, if you can put him with someone who is defensively responsible, that's a killer combo right now. And I mean, we'll move on to who I think could be his defensive partner in Justin Hull. Now, this is the contract that people were kind of angry about, like immediate negative reaction. Justin Hull, 3 years, $3.4 million. That is what pissed people off. The term and the money. It still came in under Evolving Hockey's projected contract for him.
True.
Take it with a grain of salt how you want to feel about it. But Justin Hull's projected WAR right now is a 46% with an EV offense of 50 and an EV defense of 52 and a PK of 55. So you're not bringing him in to blow the doors down. You're bringing him in to probably be a solid second pair defenseman. Mm-hmm. And I feel that every single thing in Toronto gets amplified by a million by both the media and the fan base. And he kind of mentioned that a little bit, asking about being in Toronto and being constantly under the microscope. Do you want me to run through the notes or do you want to comment first?
I'll comment. I mean, what I liked about his interview in particular, and you just kind of watch the way he plays, he highlights on himself that he's a strong two-way defender. He can jump up into the play. He likes to get the breakout started. And you just think about what we've talked about the last year, 2 years, even since Malone took over, is this team thrives off transition. And Ghost and Hull speak directly to that. Now, how well that, hopefully they can get into the system and learn it quickly. So, I mean, I'm not too upset with it. We'll see how it plays out. But, I mean, I think it was Tyler that compares him to a Ben Chiarot. So we'll see if he gets to reign free on that one again, because we had to backtrack and give him credit for the Chiarot comment after the fact. But
Tyler gets one smart thing per season to say, and that was that was his one smart thing. So this better not be his smart thing for this coming season. During his interview, he calls him, like you said, a two-way D-man that's been used more defensively. PK has also been a big focus in the past. So again, buffing your special teams numbers that need to stay high to be relevant. Says he always has something to prove. You have to beat your best at all times to be valuable. What appealed to him about Detroit was the roster. Playing against the Wings last year, he saw a lot of good pieces and a lot of promise. On playing in Toronto, he said, you are always under the microscope and it's the hardest place to play. It might help you get a little thicker skin. I'm going to say it probably pisses you off more than anything. But again, I feel like any problems are amplified a million times when you play in Toronto. I don't think Hull is as bad as the Toronto media and Toronto fans are making him out to be. And I think maybe he can try and turn the narrative on himself around a little bit in Detroit.
Them pissed off because a player left them and they didn't get to keep him.
He said he had several offers and had to move quick. If you don't move, teams will move on without you. He had a little bit of insight into the free agency process. He says it's like minute to minute. You're getting phone calls. You've got to answer them. So I'm surprised that Max Domi got an offer while he was fucking asleep overseas.
Right.
Like, from Toronto. Yeah. He said a big point from Justin Hull. He loves the Wings jersey and colors. That was something that he said during his interview.
He did say that. I loved it because it wasn't Art making the comment about them in Philly or something.
I don't know when. I was like half working and half listening. And he's like, yeah, they got a good jersey and good colors. I'm like, I got to take a note on that. Mm-hmm. He mentioned Mo Sider and Lucas Raymond by name on their skill at their age and how they're progressing with the team. On usage, he said that he isn't.
Wait, so the players that have played against these Red Wings, young players, they can see these things. That's so crazy. But our fucking fans are too goddamn blind to see 2 feet in front of their face.
Ryan's very mad. Ryan's very mad by the negativity of the fan base during free agency. On usage, he says that he isn't an offensive dynamo, but he believes there is still more offense to his game than he has shown. He seems like a funny guy, again, a good energy dude who's buying into systems. And that seems, again, like Yzerman's theme is these high energy, good character guys. And I think JT Compher even said it, that it's the kind of locker room that Yzerman is building, is this high confidence, play for each other, good character, high IQ style locker room that knows what it takes to win because most of them have been in winning situations before or have won before. And can bring
weird.
That
look
to
at
the
that trend,
right? So getting winners is kind of winners with good attitude is kind of something that Yzerman looks like he's looking at. So I will take Justin Hull. Like you said, the contract may be a little high. It's not 5 years, 3 years.
It's not five million dollars, it's three million. Like under 3.5. Yep.
The cap's going to go up, guys. Don't worry about it. It'll be fine.
Not only that, but I mean, if you don't get Mata. I mean, you got Mata for 2 more years at only $3 million. He was arguably one of your better shutdown defenders last season. I mean, the only one you can still arguably be pissed off about is Ben Chiarot, but who cares? Sider's going to be your highest paid defenseman soon, and you can get over it. Okay.
Yeah. Ryan's on a roll tonight. Jeez.
I tell you, I was very happy when Twitter was broken because I didn't see most
minutes
of these
of
comments.
Silence.
And now all of a sudden, it's like the fucking floodgates of stupidity have opened.
Well, I'm going to go back here to make another point really quick. Alex Lyon, born in the United States. Christian Fischer, born in the United States. James Reimer's Canadian. Shane Gostisbehere, born in the United States. Justin Hull, born in the United States. That's 4 American-born players.
Going into the 4th of July tomorrow. God bless America. You're damn right.
So we move on to the Netherlands and Daniel Sprong because that one is like one of the only Dutch play. I don't know how many Dutch players are currently in the
NHL. Does it throw you off that he's Dutch, or am I just weird?
The Netherlands is Dutch.
The name doesn't like scream I'm Dutch.
Daniel Sprong? No, it doesn't. Yeah. But Daniel Sprong is a right shot, right wing, 6 foot, 202 pounds.
Jay Fresh really needs to update his headshots because
they do.
Sprong didn't look like that. Hull looks like Erik Karlsson's like evil twin.
He does without the pirate mustache.
Yeah.
So Daniel Sprong is 26 years old in 66 games played with the Seattle Kraken last season, 21 goals, 25 assists for 46 points. I mean, overall positive player. Looking at his Jay Fresh card, a projected WAR of 85 with a 74 offense, a 21 defense. But the numbers that really pop out are a 93 finishing and 100% goals per 60. So the guy had a record offensive season last season, was really good on the ice. It's again the depth scoring that Yzerman is bringing in, having someone on each line who can put the puck in the net. And that is what's going to win you championships. He's pointed that out as one of the things that Vegas did, was they had lines that could constantly roll and people that could constantly chip in.
Mm-hmm.
So from Daniel Sprong's interview, he says he's bringing offense and scoring, can grow with the guys and help them out in that area. Mentions his one timer on the power play and the impact that it can make, that he also played with Perron and Olimata in Pittsburgh, Fabry and Wallman growing up, and Valeno lives in the same area as him, and they were close to each other when they were younger. He says that they had the belief that they could make it to the playoffs and knew what they had in the locker room, this being Seattle, and that's where it started. Says he's looking at Detroit on paper and that that could be a playoff team. That was the big thing. He's saying, looking at the team on paper and what they have, the team could be a playoff team. So again, another guy whose energy was good, but this is a pickup. When I saw that he wasn't being tendered an offer by Seattle, I'm like, this is a guy you want, because yeah, he's one who, he's younger. He's not super duper young. He's 26, but he's in that age gap where his offense is just starting to take off. And we kind of saw that with Dylan Larkin too, where you see an offensive bump a little bit later. And it's one that I'm kind of excited for, because if you can get him in there and get him rolling and you can put him on the third line and he can score 20 goals in a season, that's fantastic.
Kind of like a Kubalik.
Yeah. And his Corsi numbers last season in Seattle, a Corsi 4 of 60.5% and a Fenwick 4 of 61.6. That's insane.
Bucks those are on
insane,
that, baby.
Insane possession numbers. And that's all situations. If you want to look at even strength, it's a 56.7 Fenwick and a 55 Corsi. It's just, they're really, really good possession numbers. When he's on the ice, your team has the puck.
Yeah. And that's promising, because you look at a Gostisbehere and that's what you also envision. And when it comes to the power play, I think it's going to make for an interesting lineup to see how they can, you know, break them up, or do they try to stack a line and go with, are they going to go 1A, 1B? I mean, there's a lot more opportunity, it feels like, this season, if everyone is healthy, to really stack up your power play and hopefully make it truly effective, because you can roll with 2D and you're not going to be hurt, and you can throw your top forwards out there and you're going to be good to go. Roll the four forwards. You got Cider and Ghost, you can pick between on your top pair, but then you've got your Raymond, Larkin, Perron, Sprong or Compher, Kopp. Like, you've got Kubalik. Like, you've got you've got a lot of weapons where,
yeah,
it could be, I'll preface the could be, very effective. And if they can have an improvement on the power play this year, it's going to help this team go a long way.
Yeah, and he is signed for 1 year at $2 million. Again, it's more of a prove-it contract, where if he does well and he improves on last season, he can earn a long-term contract. But I like that guys are coming to Detroit for that prove-it contract, because they're in the prime to be able to do that, or maybe turn their career around and earn something that's longer. So the last guy we want to talk about in free agency so far, because it's not over. I mean, it's day three.
The smoke is settled on the start.
That's what Yzerman said, is that it's like teams are now trying to figure out what they need, but it's by no means completely over right now. The kind of the biggest signing, and one that I really like, that again, people shit on because of the term and the money, like they're the Red Wings accountant or something. JT Compher signed for 5 years at $5.1 million per season. Last season with the Colorado Avalanche, in 82 games played, he had 17 goals, 35 assists for 52 points, with a Corsi 4 of 51 and 49.9 offensive zone start percentage, which basically means they play him evenly in the offensive zone as they do the defensive zone.
He's a great two-way forward.
Yeah, looking at his Jay Fresh chart, let me pull it back up because someone messed the charts up. 75% WAR with a 31% offense, 88% defense. Finishing of 75, goals per 60 of 84. the dude is a gamer, man. That's the big thing is, again, he's another big energy guy. Played at Michigan with Kopp and Larkin. He mentions being in the area previously was a draw for him. He had great talks with Steve and coaching and says that this year and the future is exciting. What they have laid out, Steve that's what everyone else mentioned too. Like Iserman laid out the plan and they're buying into the plan. He mentioned Kopp and Larkin as friends on the team. When asked about the success in Colorado, he talks about how bad they were and the rebuild. He knows how that all works. He's been through it all before. He's excited to take on the same kind of challenge here. And I think that's an important point, is you're bringing in a guy that's been through the exact same things that these players are going through right now, the exact same situations. And he knows how they got out of it and what they needed to do to overcome those losses and what they did when those losses happened and how to move the team forward. So that's one thing that I think is a really big point there, is he's done it all before. He says he's talked to Kopp and Larkin already, and the others have also reached out to him. They told him what a really good group they have and that they love the room. They're pushing to make the playoffs, and they had great things to say about management and coaching. He likes playing center, but also has played both wings, so there's versatility there. On his career high season, says that playing 2C in the playoffs helped boost his confidence. Played more last season due to the injuries, and that also helped. He developed more poise with the puck that should progress even further into next season. He feels that at his core, he's a defensively detailed 200-foot player. Says that the rebuild in Colorado was fun and hard. Says he's thankful for the experience and can help the guys work through the losses with what he has learned. And at the end of the day, the direction of the team laid out by Steve and his previous experience is what convinced him to come here. Building the locker room was a big focus and selling point. Again, reiterates that he's more comfortable playing center, but will play wherever they need him. Depth, man. This just gives you so much depth. And that's kind of what I want to round out the free agency thing with, is that, and I'll let you get your thoughts in on Comfort too, but this roster is so flexible right now.
Yeah.
It seems like any guy from the top, first, the way I looked at it is any guy that you have in the bottom six in a pinch could probably slot up into the top six without really hurting you that much.
Fisher can go anywhere. Comfort can go anywhere. Sprong can go anywhere in the lineup. Kostin, like all Berggren, these new guys, you can. What's that?
Berggren. You're talking about guys who are still here too.
The new guys, like, in particular, but yeah, Berggren can go anywhere in the lineup. Raymond has gone up and down, but he's a top six guy. Like, he's locked in there. Kubalik can play anywhere in the lineup. Yep. Fabry has shown he can play anywhere in the lineup. Zadina hasn't shown quite that he can do that.
But he might not be here anymore.
But he could be gone.
Michael Rasmussen.
Raz can play anywhere in the lineup. Volano, debatable. Probably better off lower pair, but he can play. He's played defensively well on the PK and in against top level competition. So Kopp can go anywhere. Like, you've got a whole roster. Perron, he's in your top six. Like, there's really no, unless he gets bumped, he could be a third line guy this year with the way things are shaking out. So
what you're looking at is just like I said, maximum flexibility. You're giving Derek Lalonde a roster to say, fucking have fun with it, dude. Here's your roster. Here's all these guys. Put them where you need them, because wherever you put them, there's a chance they're probably going to be pretty successful.
And what's fun, granted, this is the depth charts for cap friendly, so obviously nothing's official, but what they have is the top 12. You've got a basically 50-50 split now of lefties and righties.
Which is exactly what you need. Like, we had a very, very big noticeable lack of right shot players.
Yep.
And now you've got right shots that you can slot wherever. And you've got it where you can put a big guy on each line. You can put a scorer on each line. You've got offense up and down the lineup. You've especially gotten deep in defense. That's one of the big things, is your defense now on each line. You've got a guy who can go to the corner and get pucks and lay the body and take it away.
Guess how many guys right now, including Zadina, scratch, and not thinking about, guess how many guys we have under 6 foot at forward right now?
Two?
Three.
Three? Okay.
Now, it depends on how you want to set it up, but out of the 12, there's two. Raymond's 5'11", Fabry's 5'10", Berggren's 5'10".
And on defense, you've got Ghost, who's 5'11", which is 1 inch under 6 foot.
Yep.
And I mean, Fabry could be gone. We don't know how that's going to happen. I mean, you're getting bigger, but when you're getting bigger, 6'1".
Cross Hannes is 6 foot. Carter Mazur's 6 foot.
Yeah, your prospects coming in are bigger too, but as you're getting bigger, you're also adding skill. You're also adding aggressiveness.
Danielson, who they just signed, is 6'2".
For the people who drafted, aren't excited about the moves after the first 2 days, and I mean, I wasn't super excited. I'm like, I see why he did this. I see why he did that. And when you take a step back and you look at the whole thing, you really start to see kind of why he did what he did and how it's all going to work. And you can make 5, 6, 7 mock lineups, and each one of them looks good. Like, there's not glaring flaws with any one of them, besides the need for a very, very high-end scorer, which can still happen. Like, it's not by any means over, and that was something that Yzerman said in his press conference. So we're going to get to the press conference, but what we need to do first is we need to take a quick break for a word from DraftKings, and we will come back and we'll talk about the Yzerman free agency presser, because he kind of laid out his vision, and by the end of it, I felt much better. So we'll be right back in 1 minute after a word from DraftKings.
New customers, download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code THPN. Bet just $5 to score $150 in bonus bets instantly. That's code THPN, only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In Massachusetts, call 800-327-5050 or visit gamblinghelplinema.org. In New York, call 877-HOPENY or text HOPENY. In Kansas, call 1-800-522-4700. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort, Kansas, in West Virginia, gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. All games regulated by West Virginia Lottery. Please play responsibly in partnership with Hollywood Casino at Charlestown Races. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. 21 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details and state-specific responsible gambling resources. Bonus bets expire 7 days after issuance, one boost per eligible game, opt-in required, max bet $50, 10 plus legal required for 100% boost. Eligibility, wagering, and deposit restrictions apply.
I got to say, it's happy now, and we're back. Is that good, Ryan? You just keep making fun of me whenever I say it all sad.
Yeah, I appreciate the I have to say this happy now. And then you jump right into it. That was a good build up to get yourself psyched up.
No, I am happy because Yzerman made every time Yzerman talks, besides dunking on the reporters, he makes me feel good inside because yes. He says all the things that I'm thinking, but I need him to say it before I can be validated.
Just a good jack off of your ego right there is what you're saying.
A little bit. So Yzerman had his press conference already. Now, normally press conferences mean you're done with free agency. And I think for the most part, he's done with free agency. But he did mention trades. The trades are still out there and the teams need to sort out their rosters before they move some pieces around and finalize things. So I'm going to run through bullets, jump in where you want to jump in. Looking at time, this may be a little quick, but we can break some stuff down where we want to break some stuff down. So the first half of it, Yzerman targeted specific needs and is comfortable with the term and money he gave to each person. He said that he'll continue in the offseason to look at free agents and trades to take the offense even further than he has taken it already, because things settle down from here and the teams figure out their rosters and make trades, like I mentioned. That was one of the big points, is he's like, I'm comfortable with everything. And he also said short-term deals were motivating because of the cap going up. So he's comfortable with what he got for what he got it for. As I said, he still came in under projections on, I believe, all of his contracts. And I can't argue it. And people will be like, oh, the Justin Hall contract is terrible. But it's not that terrible. It's not a lot of dudes are being signed for 7 years. Like, dudes that had no business being signed for 7 years. They said Tampa offered Alex Killorn 8 years.
What?
That is, they offered him 8 years. He didn't take it, but they offered him 8 years.
At 34 years old, they offered him an 8-year contract? They
offered him 8 years. So, like, it's... No. Huh. No one was touching those contracts. They were too long for too much money, and each time one came out, I'm like, thank you, Yzerman, for not signing that contract, because you're giving a dude who's 28 years old and not super high offensively or super, super good defensively, you're giving him a 7-year contract. What is it, Pierre Engvall that got a 7-year contract from the Islanders? Lou's out there just throwing term around.
Yeah.
Like, insane.
Was it Lou that did? I mean, he gave Sorokin an 8-year deal, but that made a lot of sense.
I'm pretty sure he also gave Pierre Engvall an 8-year deal.
Let's see. They've got $1 million in cap space, so good luck with DeBrincat, as they're rumored to be in. Pierre Engvall.
see that?
You did.
You see granted, that it's contract? Only at
$3 million, but why are you what giving a depth term? Guy an 8-year deal?
Come on. Like, was it Lou just jacking around now because he's going to retire or something? He's going to fill the roster and peace out?
7-year deal. It's 7, not 8.
Still a little still. Too long. Yzerman was asked about scoring. He said they would like to score more, and being better defensively should help them in scoring, which I agree. You get the puck more, you take the puck away more, you get more chances to score, along with the development of guys like Lucas Raymond, another year on Mo Sider. The guy, Mike Rasmussen, now I had to call him Mike because of Pete. Mike Rasmussen, another year there, maybe a big boost in offense. Not a big one, but a little boost in offense. Anything helps. The chip in helps. Let's see, what else do we say? There were a lot of discussions at the draft about trading picks to move up or down. He kicked tires on players, but nothing materialized. Was asked about JT Compher. Thinks JT is a healthy 28-year-old. Says a 5-year term is good because he's a good skater, good athlete, stays healthy, very versatile, and has a right-hand shot. Compher will be a help for Dylan Larkin and all of our players with the experience. He has gone through the same thing in Colorado. That was a big point Yzerman made. It's like, you're getting a guy who's familiar with the situation to put him around guys who are just in that situation right now. They want to be careful in locking people into term and clauses to take away the flexibility of the roster. I think he said what? He was like, what? We got like 3-4 guys we're committed to next season. And like, we get to do this all again. So it doesn't matter. You get these guys on onesie, twosie year deals and you lock up 2 maybe longer than that. But the rest of them, you decide whether you want to keep them or you dump them and move. That's the thing.
Next year, they've got 1, 2, 3, 4 guys under contract right now that have one more year after this one. There's only 1, 2, 3 guys long term outside the next 2 years. They're in a good spot. That's not including entry level deals.
Yeah. Money and roster flexibility is there going forward, especially when the cap goes up. Almost like Steve Yzerman knows what he's doing when people start calling for his head already.
But that's not what that's supposed to be like. You're supposed to make all the trades and go like steal Connor McDavid out of Canada because he's under oppression and stuff. And we got to make him in Detroit because we don't have players.
There was a lot of overreactions this week. He was talking about Simon Edvin, asked about Simon Edvinson. He says that they have high hopes for him. He's not prepared to put him on the team in a top 6 role. It's not out of the realm of possibility at this stage, though. Yzerman says it's not a certainty. Same approach applies to Marco Kasper. Will not rush him into the lineup. Says they said the same thing about Raymond, though, and he forced himself into play. So it goes back to any guy in camp can earn a spot as long as they blow the doors down and prove that they are better than someone else on the roster. As of right now, though, Yzerman will not guarantee them a spot on the roster, as he shouldn't.
Can we backtrack? I think it was a backtrack a little bit on,
go ahead,
on the comments. I pulled out a quote, and I forget exactly where it was at when I was watching it, but Yzerman goes, "We'd love a couple of big-time scorers, and hopefully we'll get that." I hope people caught that comment, because...
I mean, that means he's got, irons in the fire, guys.
Things aren't done.
Nope.
Things could happen. They also could very not happen. However,
Ryan.
Of all the comments, though, that one has stuck out to me. That you feel like there's conversations being had. Maybe that involves Zadina. Now it can't really happen because he got waived, at least in the next 24 hours, I should say.
Yeah, by noon tomorrow or whatever.
You know that he knows that, like, that reinforces the fact that he knows there isn't top scoring talent on this team.
Yeah,
the fucking blockheads on Twitter now and everywhere else can't wrap their mind around that fact. It's so subtle, so simple, and a truth. Deal with it. Like, we can't have all of these things. Like, he's trying to build a roster. What's, you want the average ages of our forward group right now?
Is it 28?
25.
Okay. After
that's with
even after the additions? David Perron.
Huh?
Is even after the additions, that's with Ghost and that's with...
Oh, yeah. That's the forward group. The D core is at 27.7.
Still under 30.
Hi. Yeah, and that's not including Rasmussen in there. I think is Berggren. Yeah, Berggren's in there, but not like, yeah.
So we're getting younger, and Boston's building a nursing home, right? Because they got Kevin Shattenkirk. They went back and got Milan Lucic.
Like, we don't have, I think Casper's included in that. Yeah, Casper's included in that. So he's helping bump it down a little bit. That doesn't include Evanson. Like, this roster is getting younger. We talked about just a few years ago when Yzerman took over, one of the oldest teams in the league. Figure it out, folks. He's doing these things strategically.
There's some strategery involved in what Steve Yzerman has planned. Yeah. So back to Art Regner, who wrote a novel and then answered all the questions all by himself. So really didn't need to answer it. And Steve Yzerman laughed at him and said the same thing. He's like, I think you just answered your own question, Art. So Yzerman says he expects scoring to increase from within. Says Vegas won because they got contributions from the entire lineup. We had already talked about that earlier on. On Sprong, Yzerman noticed him 2 years ago in Washington and was impressed with him in Seattle. He had taken a step forward, and when he wasn't qualified, Yzerman reached out. All the background information on him was positive, and he adds a right-hand shot to the lineup. He said the same thing. Better players aren't being qualified due to prioritizing top players and hard cap.
Yep.
Good teams lose players due to situations out of their control. It helps other teams get guys they probably wouldn't have if the cap was higher right now. You take advantage of it. Yzerman's taking advantage of it, and maybe it will pay off. It's a one-year deal. If it doesn't pay off, it doesn't pay off. You get a high pick going into next season, and you do it all over again.
And you might have two high picks going into next season. Sure. So there you go.
Yeah, because Boston might fall off the fucking rails.
Clint Costin, we said this last year, and I'm mildly terrified trying to say it again. So
no, say it again, because if it's a top 10 pick, it moves again. And if they get a top 10 pick next season, then you know they're probably going to be even worse the season after. So
I hope so.
Clem Costin was getting a contract without the need to QO him. Lindstrom was the same situation, which that was a surprise. I didn't see us bringing Gustav Lindstrom back.
Like, where did that come from?
Well, this kind of explains it. They really like Lindstrom as a person. He understands the role he's in. The role he's in is 70. He knows he's here to be a fill-in, to fill in on nights when they need that maybe different handedness in the lineup. He's not here to play every night big minutes. Mm-hmm. Would I have taken Jordan Osterley? Maybe. I think Osterley was a little more effective. But yep. Lindstrom is younger, and he knows his role. That was what he's getting.
Favorite breakout pass king.
So we'll keep Gustav Lindstrom in the family for another season, I guess. On Rasmussen in the kids' development, Yzerman says you see it on the ice. Michael's worked really hard at his skating and confidence, and it shows. He cares and has put a lot of work into becoming a better player. Steve expects him to continue to grow and develop. Same with Valeno. He expects them to take another step. And that was kind of the theme of the current players in this press conference, is he needs everyone to take a step forward, to find that little bit of extra offense, to play harder on defense. And by bringing in these guys and giving them roster flexibility and upping the overall defense of the team and giving you more weapons on your penalty kill and giving you more weapons on your power play, the scoring should come and we should be able to stop more goals than we let in. So that is kind of Yzerman's offseason adjustments, is bump the defense. Offense comes with development and from improved special teams. And that should hopefully even it out, even if we don't get a high score, but he's still looking for one.
Yeah. A lot of it speaks to what we've talked about, I think, time and time again, where the offense comes from the defense. And that transition game of the breakout and how they can actually get out of their own end and push forward. A lot of these guys now, you look at the defense and how things are set up, that's hopefully is going to speak to that. We saw what the system could do last season when the defense got engaged. They weren't like over pursuing and causing poor rushes or forcing passes. It can work. And now you bring in a guy like Gostisbehere, bring in a Hall. It hopefully speaks more to that. Now we hope that, again, nobody gets hurt, because we saw how that just derailed pretty much everything on the back end in particular. But there's more now that hopefully this can start coming about, because people are too uneasy at this point, saying it's taking too long. But I still can't be mad at this stage of things, given what Yzerman has taken over, and to see the fact that since he has taken over. After literally tearing it down to the studs, this team has gotten better each season.
Yeah, and hopefully after this, people can just take a little step back, look at the entire picture, look at our cap situation going forward.
They don't. Asking a lot.
I'm just asking people to. If you're listening to this and you were very, very upset by what Steve Yzerman did so far, and you think that the world is ending and that the team is going backwards, I really implore you to go on Cap Friendly, open up the entire roster, look at what contracts we have signed into the future. Go look. I posted all the Jay Fresh cards out there, I believe. If I didn't, ask me for them. I will give them to you, the Jay Fresh cards. And make your own lineup. Go in and make your own lineup out of the players that we have on that we have signed throughout this free agency so far. And tell me it's not balanced. And that's kind of what we've achieved, is a level of balance that we didn't have before. And it, top to bottom, I can say that this team is better today than they were last week based on the additions that were made.
Yeah.
And this team is deeper than they were last week. Especially, and this is a team. Yeah. And this is a team that maybe stops 10 more goals, 15 more goals in a season, and that wins you more games.
And you know what's great? Like, specifically going back to the defensive aspect of it. Like, right now, you look at Cap Friendly, and this is probably their seven. You got Sherratt, Ghost, Hall, Wallman, yep. Mata, Lindstrom, Seider.
Yep.
Guess who your top two are now waiting in the wings, no pun intended.
Edvinson and Johansson.
And Johansson. And maybe Wallander.
Yeah.
What's that? What's the word I'm trying to search for here right now, Greg?
Future.
Depth.
Depth and future, man. That's what it is. And it's just people just take the snap reactions out of it. Cool yourself down. Go over the whole thing. Look at it again. Because right now I'm looking at it. And then again, looking at what Toronto did, because they got Bertuzzi and Domi, but they also got rid of defense.
And they're also $8+ million over the cap right now.
And don't have a goalie under contract that's not named Matt Murray.
And you know who we didn't talk about for Detroit, though, for the depth aspect? Sandin Pelikka.
Yeah,
who was another one. It's a couple reincarnation years, of Brian Rafalski. I know we talked about him last week.
Yeah. But
in like the future piece, like I'm assuming we haven't heard officially, but you can make the assumption he's going to take the path of an Evanson and a Wallander, all those guys. He's going to play in the SHL again for a year and then make the jump over to the North American ice. But now you've got a guy that will likely be better than Gostisbehere. Because then you can compare them in size, but the skating, if you want to get an idea of what Sandin Pelikka is going to bring, watch Gostisbehere this season.
He's better defensively than Gostisbehere too.
Oh, totally. But offensively, that is what you can get a preview and an idea of, is with Gostisbehere out there, you're going to have the same build, same type of offensive mindset with Sandin Pelikka, but he's a righty.
Yeah. So go back, listen to Yzerman talk, listen to all the player press conferences, listen to us again, and me break down the numbers. And I think you'll get a little bit more calm. But Ryan, I want to get your final thoughts before everything outside starts exploding.
Yeah, I'm hearing fireworks too.
It's a Monday night and the fireworks have started. So I'll get your final thoughts before we sign off.
Now, final thoughts. I mean, was it underwhelming? No. Was it overwhelming? No. Like, this is...
It was whelming.
It was exactly what they needed to hopefully, I'll say that again, improve. And for all intents and purposes, this team should be improving going into next season. They need to stay healthy. We get that. Will that be the case? Probably not. Someone's going to get hurt at some point. That's inevitable.
Robbie Fabry, cough, cough.
I wasn't trying to say it, but yes, you're right. So we just need progress. Like I already said, I went back and pulled the wins. I looked at the roster since Yzerman took over. This team has improved. You can argue it's been minimal, but they are now up to close to a 500 record, which we haven't been able to enjoy for a very long time. So that is the progress that this team is making. They have to make that progress. Yzerman knows the fan base can't be happy with mediocrity forever. That doesn't, like, that's not a weird, crazy thing that we're just identifying after this offseason. So for the love of God, take a step back. Quit trying to think that everything has to be immediate satisfaction. It can't happen. It doesn't happen. So I don't know. I'm going to try not to yell at more people on Twitter, or at least call them out for their stupidity. I'll just quote tweet them, say fucking wow again. Anyways, already running 33.
Yeah, I already gave my final thoughts. Like, giddy up, let's go. It's development camp. I think we're going to have Daniela on next week to talk about dev camp and break down some prospect performance and analysis. So it'll be a good time. But keep looking for stuff, because I don't think Iserman's done. And I think there's still trades to be made. So you can follow me online at Bringing the Wing. You can follow the Grindline Podcast online at Grindline Pod. Like, give a shout out to the Hockey Podcast Network and say thank you for hosting us and spreading us around. Go follow us and sub to us on YouTube. All the content goes up there and you can see Ryan in real time be really mad. That's a treat. You can, we want to thank Vintage Detroit for being awesome and just being the best at doing Detroit jerseys for every Detroit sport out there. You can use promo code Grindline on Bring Hockey Back and get 10%. Same promo code, or no, Bring Hockey Back is 12. Same promo code on Howie's Hockey Tape, that's 10. You can go to redbubble.com and search the Grindline to find our awesome merch. There will be more merch coming up. I'm working on my real Klim Shady shirt. That should be really yes. cool, because that is going to be a bestseller, I think.
That's so good.
But again,
you need to do it in the form of an album.
Oh, I'm going to do it with a 313 and everything. I'm going to do it just like Eminem does his shirts. But instead of Slim, it's going to say Klim. It's going to be amazing.
I love it.
But that's going to do it for us tonight. So for Ryan, I am Greg. You stay classy, Hockey Town.